From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you. It's good to have you listening in as once again we meet around the Word of God to Let the Bible Speak. We're letting the Bible speak this week from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. As we continue our studies in Colossians 1, we're now looking at the subject from the dominion of darkness to the liberty of the Lordship of Christ. Now that's a great subject. Paul addresses it, and I trust that God will write it on our hearts. There is certainly much to which we ought, as professing Christians, to pay close attention. However, first we start with our daily devotional, taken today from Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 16. And this is something that is very, very personal to Christian after Christian. Sooner or later, everybody has to learn in the school of affliction. Ezekiel 24:16 says, Behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Ezekiel's wife had died. No family's immune from sorrow and loss. Death comes to the best of God's servants. Ezekiel was the true disciple in sorrow. He bowed to God's benevolent will, learning submission by the things that he suffered. Devotion does not offer indemnity. There are no exceptions when it comes to admission into the school of affliction. Everyone must enroll there. The Lord, says Hebrews 12 verse 6, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God will sometimes take away from his saints that which he has given. He may see fit to remove from us some of our earthly comforts. He may take away our health in a measure. Eyesight becomes impaired, or pain and affliction are constant companions. Inevitably, a loved one is taken. God does not lightly afflict his people. There's a good purpose to it all. Suffering teaches the Christian many things. He must trust his God as much in the cloud as in the sunshine. God is the giver of all we possess. All things are given us on loan. No gift is greater than the giver. God is to be glorified in everything, even in our grief. No child of God can really suffer loss, for heaven will bring blessed rest and everlasting compensation. Death brought Ezekiel to a better understanding of the great heart of God. He knew God had forbidden him to make a show of mourning for his wife. That the servant must not drop a tear reminds us of a better hope. We sorrow not as those who are outside of Christ. The prophet's wife didn't die as one alone upon the earth. Her death coincided with the beginnings of darkest tragedy in Israel, the loss of many lives, the loss of the temple, felt in heaven as the loss of one's beloved. Yet there was blessing. Ezekiel's family grief opened his own mouth, giving him an answer from God and a message of abiding comfort to the brokenhearted. We can best comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. Our thought for the day comes from the great Scottish preacher and theologian Samuel Rutherford, and he said, Grace grows best in the winter. In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon. And if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you a new beginning. Our theme for study this week from Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, is the deliverance that God gives to his people as he brings them from the dark dominion of the devil into the glorious liberty of the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. This work of delivering sinners is first and foremost a divine work. It takes divine omnipotence to save a soul. And that's where we're going to take up our study today. It takes divine omnipotence and nothing less to bring a soul to Jesus Christ. No other power is capable of doing the work. Certainly there's no power in man. Does not Paul tell us in the 5th chapter of Romans of the natural state of the sinner? He says, we were yet without strength. Now that doesn't mean we were weak. That means we were strengthless. You may have weakness and yet some strength. He's talking about the entire, absolute absence of strength. We were without strength. So there's no power in man. The awful thing about the fall of man into sin is that when Adam fell, and with him the whole race fell, there was no recuperative of power left in human nature. There was nothing in the will of man, unregenerated, to desire God. That's why Romans 3 says, there is none that desires him. There is none that seeks after God. There's no recuperative power in man. So if there's ever to be salvation, it can't come from yourself, nor can it come from any other man. And this is the craziness of people of every sort of religion who are running around the world to this guru and that guru, to this philosopher and that philosopher, to this thinker and that thinker, trying from them to obtain the light of life. As if they have the secret. They don't. And if they did, they couldn't impart it to you anyway. Only God can do that. And that's why in this text, the terms that Paul uses all deliberately express the idea of power. Notice he uses the word delivered. I'll come back to that in a moment, but for the moment I'll simply say that here he's speaking of a power that is greater than the power that held us. That's obvious. Then he says, delivered us from or out of the power or the authority of darkness. Again, the idea is of superior power. When he uses the word darkness, we tend to look on that as almost
a personification of the devil, and you wouldn't be wrong. In fact, I don't think you can, as an exegesis, actually put the devil's name there and say he is using it as a synonym of the devil. But certainly there is a reference to some dark tyranny and bondage. He's speaking of something that's evil, something that's terrible. And the whole idea of this text is that we lay under a tyranny that was so monstrous, a tyranny of an enemy so powerful, that we had no hope of escape, no means of escape. There was no help for our souls in ourselves or in anything or anybody round about us, except by a divine action. We could not be saved. That's the testimony of Scripture. I've referred to Ephesians 1, following that great prayer which culminates in a reference to Christ being the head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He goes on to say, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a picture. There's a graveyard worse than that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37. There's a graveyard. It's worldwide. And it's hopeless. You could sooner go down to any of our local cemeteries and command the corpses to come forth. You could sooner do that with success than bring these people to life. And then we have one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. One of the most glittering gems in all of Scripture, set against the absolute blackness of our lost estate. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are or have been saved. This is a divine work. It's the uniform message of Scripture. There are two great truths, twin truths, that must be preached from every Christian pulpit. One is the inability of man, and the other is the ability of God. He is able. That's the constant truth that the Scripture set before us. He is able. I was going to refer you back to Ezekiel 34 this morning in a little detail, but since I've already gone to places I hadn't intended to go, I had better not spend too much time in Ezekiel 34. But I want you sometime just to take that chapter. Ezekiel's a book that sort of gets overlooked and people leave it out, and I can understand why. I don't have a very imaginative brain, and I confess that when I see a great deal of detail, either architectural or otherwise, my brain gets into a sort of a whirl, and I don't understand an awful lot. But don't get tied down to your inabilities of understanding when there are so many things that are clear and plain. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord is dealing through the prophet with his position as the shepherd, the true shepherd of his people. And I want you to notice what he says. And I'm not going to expound these things except to emphasize the verb. Let's start at verse 11. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 12, near the end, the middle of the verse. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them. Verse 13, I will bring them out. I will gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and will feed them. Verse 14 again, I will feed them. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and will bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. I want you to notice something. When he is describing salvation from a divine perspective, where there is no emphasis, now there are other places where there is such an emphasis, but where the emphasis is not upon human responsibility and human response, where God is focusing on the basis of such response, or such positive response, he's saying, this is unconditional. I will do it. Satan may oppose. Human depravity may stand in the way. False shepherds, such as Ezekiel has been describing, may seek to undermine the work. Lying prophets may rise up to lead the people astray. But I have a flock. I will seek out my sheep. I will find my sheep. I will deliver my sheep. I will feed my sheep. I will protect my sheep. They are my sheep. And I undertake by my sovereign power, I will do these things. This is a divine work. That's good news, you know, for the darkest and the neediest of sinners. Before any man is ever saved, he's brought to feel his own utter weakness, wickedness, incompetence, inability, wretchedness, sinfulness. Before any man is saved, he's brought to the place where he's prostrate before God. He recognizes, unless God steps in and saves me, I must be damned, and justly so, for I'm a sinner and I can do nothing to save myself. But it's good news for such a one, for there's no power too great for God. There are many things in a pastor's life that bring grief. I suppose there's many a thing in everybody's life that brings grief. But there are many things when you're in a pastoral position where you deal with things that would break your heart. To stand at the grave of someone with whom you've pleaded, to stand and bury someone to whom you've given the gospel with every ounce of sincerity and honesty and integrity of which you're capable, and realize that unless God did some hidden miracle in the last moments that no man knows anything about, that soul's in a lost hell. That's a grief beyond description. But then there are the other times that bring great joy. To kneel with the broken, those cursed by sin, held in the bondage of darkness, to see them rise, new creatures in Christ. To see in an instant the power of sin broken, to kneel with a filthy adulteress, a prostitute, and see her rise glowing with a holiness and a purity that only God could give. To see the drunkard get up, never to go back to the devil's poison again. To see a young life shattered by hard drugs, set free to go and serve the living Christ. I want to tell you,
those are joys. Nothing to do with the ability of a preacher,
but everything to do with the power of God. I want to tell you, there's no power so deep, there's no darkness so deep, there's no tyranny so monstrous, but that He is able to deliver you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.